May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
Psalm 18, the 18th Psalm. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. For they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, have the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I've run for a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand have holden me up, and thy gentleness have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that are not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them. Even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. People whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man, therefore will I give thanks unto thee. O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. May most gracious God, that mercy which thou dost show to David and his seed be shown to us this day. And do have mercy upon all our unrighteousnesses, and pardon and forgive all our sins. May we know that mercy which flows from the precious blood of Calvary. That rock smitten for sinners. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, the mercies of this thy day, the mercies of thy house, of the company of thy people, the throne of grace, and of all that flows from Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in that salvation, and to exalt thee, God Most High, as our Saviour, as our Redeemer, as our Friend, as our Lord, as our everlasting all. Be with us here today. Shine upon the page of thy word, and give us the faith to believe what it says. Speak unto our souls and make us listen and understand what thou dost say. And Lord, may we not forget thy word. May it abide in our hearts and bear forth fruit in our lives. Come in thy risen power and glory, and grant us to know God with us. In ties of blood. May Lord God with us be present now to bless, to teach, to guide, to profit, to rebuke, to warn, to save. May thy mercy suit every case this day. Thou seest what each one of us needs. Some, Lord, need quickening into life and the work beginning. Some, Lord, need that work strengthening. And some, Lord, at the close of the journey of life, need that work finishing. And Lord, thou art able to suit thy word to each case if it is thy will. And we ask thee, Lord, so to do, and send none unhealed, untouched, unmoved away this day. May we know the blessing of pardon, protection, and peace. May we know God on our side as our friend, not as our enemy. May we prove not just that Christ is the friend of sinners, but that he is our friend. We ask thy blessing upon this church and people. And do bless the ministry of thy word here. And crown it with success. We thank thee, Lord, what thou hast done since the beginning of this course. We ask thee, Lord, to continue. And to go on to do great things here. Bless the ministry of thy word in this place. Crown it with success. May God be glorified through the ministry of thy word here. May Christ be exalted. May the sinner be laid low. Clothe with a power and authority thy word. And grant, Lord, that this may be good ground. This may be fruitful ground. To thine honour and glory and praise. Bless the deacons and help them in the responsibilities thou hast called them to. Bless them in the exercise of the praises that are sung. Grant thy help in the exercise of filling this pulpit with a living ministry. Grant thy help when they have to do reading services. May they know thy blessing and thy help, thy support. And Lord, we pray especially for the deacon and his wife here in her affliction. We ask you, Lord, to carry them through and draw very near unto them. May they feel that Jesus himself is near. And may they know much of thy blessing and help and support. Bless each member of this church and each member of this congregation. Bless those who listen online through the internet. And may that means be used for the salvation and through the edification of many souls. And bless each one here in their daily life, in the journey of life, may they have thy presence. May they each be taught to cast their burdens, their cares, their needs upon thee. And Lord, may they prove that thou art with them. That thou art sustaining them. That thou art guiding, sheltering, helping, providing for them. Bless the children and those in the dawning of the journey. Grant them help in their school days. And in their college days and university days. And guide them in the decisions they have to make which will affect the whole of the rest of their lives. Lord, may they pray to thee for guidance and wisdom and receive answers. Do provide for them in employment and godly husbands and wives in thy time. Keep them to thy house and to thy ways and make them a blessing in this and in other houses of prayer in time to come. Help their parents to bring them up in thy fear and to guide them aright. Answer their prayers for them. And bless those who are further on in life's journey, in the middle of it, with busy scenes, varied concerns, needs, cares, burdens. And then, Lord, for those in the end of life's journey, in the evening time of life, sanctify old age and weariness and weakness of the body, loneliness, bereavement, Lord, may they know it fulfilled what the hymn writer said. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life, my death attend. Thy presence through my journey shine and crown my journey's end. Lord, crown each of our journey's end with heaven at the last. And may we know this day a sweet foretaste of it. Bless, we pray, thy servants as they preach thy word today. And any, Lord, who are unable to preach, we think especially of our friend Tim Parrish. We thank thee, Lord, for granting him that measure of restoration. We ask thee, Lord, to go on to continue to do so and grant him that full restoration of health and strength. And restoration to the pulpit, and do bless him and help him and his wife and family in these days. And any more, Lord, of thy servants who may be laid aside in weakness, do raise them up again, if it is thy will. And do support those who this day must stand and preach thy word. And grant the wisdom and the grace that is needed to fulfill their ministry. And do send forth more labourers into thy harvest. And remember those who may be exercised about that great work. And be with them and help them. And help them to lay the burden on thee, and to know that thou art walking before and with them in it. We pray, Lord, for any here who have great mountains before them this week. Any that may have come to a dead halt, who feel they cannot go on. Lord, come this afternoon over those mountains and make them a plain and draw near unto them and give them the faith to lean upon thee and to prove that in leaning upon thee is the secret to them going on. And now, Lord, we seek that thou wouldst remember our nation. Hear and answer the prayers of the prayer meeting this morning. We pray that thou wouldst call by grace those in Parliament, those in the Cabinet, the Prime Minister, the government. And open their eyes. We are saddened, Lord, that the evident ungodliness and the determination to continue in sin, and that hatred in certain areas of our parliament that would even criminalise the preaching of thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst protect thy gospel and overturn the designs of Satan to silence it. But Lord, if that is not thy will, then give us still the grace to preach thy word and not alter it, whatever may be the cost. But Lord, we ask that thou wouldst intervene and call by grace those in authority and open their eyes and make them willing to consider, is there not a cause why all these things have befallen us as a nation? May they be made willing to change course. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant both national and evangelical saving repentance in this land. And begin that in our own hearts, we pray. For Lord, we all have need of it. We all have sinned. We all need to consider our ways. We pray, Lord, for our royal family. We pray that thou wouldst remember the Duke of Edinburgh. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing him out of hospital. As, Lord, he is shortly to remember his 100th birthday, we pray that thou wouldst sanctify this time to the good of his soul and cause him to cry unto thee and find in thee his salvation. We pray that thou wouldst remember him and our Queen in these days. And remember them with thy salvation. And visit them with thy love. We ask now for thy help as we come to thy word of truth. Have mercy upon us as we ask every mercy for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us further sing from the heart hymn 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn 238.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to the 18th Psalm, verse 46. Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. We are told that the context of this psalm in the title, that David penned this psalm when he came to the throne, when he was delivered from the hand of Saul, finally. And this is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving to God for bringing him to the throne after many difficulties and obstacles which Satan had put in the way to try and frustrate God's design. Here's how he began his reign. With praise and thanksgiving to his God. And here is his hope and his confidence as he ascends the throne and begins that long reign. It's this, that the Lord liveth. And beloved friends, whatever the future holds for you, whatever the future holds for this church, whatever the future holds for this nation, one thing will remain the same: the Lord will still live. The Lord liveth, and the Lord reigneth. He is mighty to save, and he is mighty in his power, which he exercises as he reigns over the affairs of men and of nations. The Lord liveth. And here is the foundation, surely, of a believer's hope, in that Jesus lives. That Jesus is victorious. That he has conquered sin, death, hell, Satan, the world. He is a risen, exalted, triumphant Saviour. His work on earth is finished, but he lives to carry on his people's cause above. The Lord liveth. This afternoon, the Saviour is at the right hand of God. Pleading the merits of his blood and righteousness. On behalf of his people. And that is a plea that always prevails. That means it's always successful before the throne of God in heaven. The Lord liveth. God the Father lives, and the Holy Spirit lives. And along with the Son, all three persons of the Trinity are reigning in glory this afternoon. And the triune God reigns in love for his people. Child of God, you've no need to fear the almighty power of your God, because it's for you and not against you. It will not crush you. It will sustain you. It will help you as you tread this thorny way here below. The Lord liveth. He lives to hear, and he lives to answer prayer. And it delights him when we spread our needs before him. And he will have us do so. He will not be taken for granted. It honors him when we pray. And it reminds us of our need of him and of what we owe to him. And that throne of grace and of mercy is still occupied. That door is open. When did you last use the door of prayer? Have you ever used it? You can't claim to be a real Christian if you've never used the door of prayer. The hymn writer says, prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gate of death, he enters heaven by prayer. You read elsewhere in the Psalms that the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended, because he's in heaven, so there's no more need for him to pray. But in order for them to end, they had to begin, and they began on earth. And he was a man of prayer from very early days. And if you have got grace in your heart, one of the fruits of that will be you will pray. And the mark of a healthy soul, strong in faith, is that he will be strong in prayer too. When we grow weak in prayer, it is because we are sickly spiritually. The Lord liveth. And he delights to hear, and he delights to answer prayer. So bring your need to him today, whatever it may be, your needs in providence. And God delights to hear you pray in providence. He is not angry. And as long as we are upon earth, we will need a providential God. But do not let your prayers begin and end there. Providence will end. But what about your soul's eternal need? What about your need of salvation? What about your need of forgiveness? What about your need of being made ready for heaven? Your need to be made right with God. The need of beginning saving grace and then giving grace to live here day by day. The Lord liveth. These are things that the Lord's people are taught to need. They're taught to pray for. And in measure they know what it is to receive answers to those prayers. Some of you here could testify of some answers to prayer you've had in your soul. And you have proved in your own heart, in your own case, it to be true by experience that the Lord liveth. Because you've already proved he lives for you. My grace is sufficient for thee, he says. This afternoon you need that grace to go on. You need that grace to live. And one day you'll have grace to die and not before. I thought in the interval there may have been a soul here this morning who felt to be out of the secret because they did not feel to have dying grace and therefore they don't feel to be prepared. Well, the reason you have not got dying grace this afternoon is because it is not your time to die yet. And God does not give us grace in the reservoir. He gives us grace as we need it. It's not held in reserve. And he's not going to give you dying grace this afternoon because it's not your time to die yet. He's going to give you living grace in a living hour to endure and to go on during the days of this week. But when you need it, and not before, but not too late, right when you need it, dying grace will be given to you. In that hour it shall be given thee. And you will prove even in death that the Lord liveth. That the Lord is able to save and to help in that hour. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. And you know the Lord lives to help his people through. In those days of darkness and distress, and you have to go through times of trouble, through adversity, through bodily affliction and pain, through disappointment, through opposition from others, through persecution perhaps, unanswered prayer, trial of faith, and yes, through bereavement too. Just going back briefly to this morning, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And maybe some of you thought, yes, but what about when I have to pass through the death of one of the Lord's saints, whom I love? And maybe that is something that some of you have been dreading for many a year. But have you considered this? If the Lord's people's death is in his sight, then equally in his sight are those who he loves, who are left behind. And he who cares for his people in death will equally help and sustain you in that road that he calls you to walk. So lean upon him. And you'll prove, he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord liveth. David had proved it, had he not? It wasn't very long before he penned the words of this psalm that he had said, I will one day fall by the hand of Saul. He had got to such a point in the persecution that he was enduring, and he felt things were so much against him that the day would come when Saul would prevail and that his life would be ended. And he had to come to such a point, such a low point, to prove the reality of our text. Maybe you are in just as such a lower point this afternoon. You feel you will one day fall by the hand of Saul, and you feel that day is near. It's often darkest before the dawn. It wasn't David who fell, it was Saul by his own hand. And trembling David this afternoon, it will not be you who falls. It will be the Saul who is opposing you. And it'll fall by a way you don't expect. It may even be by their own hand. The Lord liveth. And he lives to deliver. And sometimes the Lord puts us in these places where only he can deliver, to remind us that he's there. To remind us that he is able. To remind us that he is willing. To remind us that he is faithful. To remind us that he has not forsaken us. So you have no need to fear having to face Saul this week. Or Goliath, or an Esau. And this is how you're going to face them, the Lord liveth. You're going to face them on your knees, seeking that the Lord will give you the grace, the wisdom, the strength, to handle your soul rightly. David rejoiced. It may have surprised some of you this afternoon when David spoke about the Lord rewarding him according to his righteousness and how he'd been kept. He's referring there to that time when Saul followed him into the cave and when he was tempted by his followers to end Saul's life and put his own hand to it. But he resisted. And those verses in the earlier part of this chapter, I think, are a direct reference to that. And how David is thankful now as he looks back that he didn't put his hand to it, that he let the Lord work, that he was kept. From striking him down. Ask the Lord to keep you, that you may honor him as you walk through this trial. Because you will be tempted to do things that are wrong, or things in your own strength. It's such a time as that that you need to prove our text, the Lord liveth, and it's present tense. So that means that whatever need you have, however dark it may be, words of our text still shine forth. The Lord liveth. And then he lives to direct. Some of you this afternoon are perhaps at a crossroads. You have some decisions to make which could affect the rest of your life. And you don't know quite what way to turn. Try the outlook. Ask God to guide you in the way he would have you to go. And yes, it will not always be an easy way. But if he's guiding you, he'll be with you in it. He'll sustain you in it. He'll direct you in it, and he'll bless you in it. The right way is not always a smooth way or an easy way. Sometimes there are storms in it, but that doesn't mean it was wrong to venture in it. The Lord livereth. And then he lives to save. To save you from your sin. To save you from your fears. To save you from Satan. To make you live in his sight. To live by faith here. To live by sight there in heaven. And the work of grace is done. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, he once was dead. He lay in that tomb. He really died. Child of God, you've no need to fear the tomb because your Saviour has already lain there for you. But, you know, this afternoon, outside of Jerusalem's gates, there is an empty tomb. And in heaven there's a filled throne. Because the Saviour lives. He's risen. Triumphant from the dead. Saviour lives no more to die. He lives the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives to still his people's fears. The Lord liveth. And beloved friends, we have in that empty tomb and in that filled throne, the proof of our salvation, that it was accepted by infinite justice. Had the sacrifice of Calvary not been sufficient, that tomb would still be filled, and we would have no hope. But the very fact that that tomb is vacant is a proof that salvation's work is done. That it is finished. That it is acceptable to God the Father. I found a few weeks ago a hymn which fits in with our text on this part about the fact that the work here below is finished, but he carries it on above. A very precious hymn which speaks of Christ and his blood. The veil is rent. Lo, Jesus stands before the throne of grace, and clouds of incense from his hands fill all the glorious place. His precious blood is sprinkled there, before and on the throne, and his own wounds in heaven declare his work on earth is done. It is finished. On the cross he said, in agony and blood, 'tis finished now. He lives to plead before the face of God. 'Tis finished here, our souls can rest. His work can never fail. By him our sacrifice and priest, we enter through the veil, within the holiest of all, cleansed by his precious blood. Before thy throne thy children fall, and worship thee, our God. Beloved friend, poor sinner this afternoon, who have proved that the Lord is gracious. His blood now is pleading for you. Even though this afternoon you've lost the sweetness of it, that does not mean the Saviour has stopped pleading for you, and it does not mean that the blood has lost its power. It has not. The Lord Jesus is in heaven. His work of redemption is done, finished, complete. And now, as your high priest, he lives to carry on his work in heaven, which is to plead that blood. That blood that did once for sin atone, it speaks in heaven on your behalf, child of God. And what does it speak of? It speaks of pardon full and free. It speaks of reconciliation with God. It speaks of a free, full, eternal forgiveness. You know, when God forgives, he forgets your sin. It isn't a case of the fact that he chooses not to speak of your sin anymore. Though that is true, but it's better than that. He says, thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And so in his sovereignty he chooses not even to remember them. And so those of you this afternoon who are favoured to be under that blood, in God's sight it is as if you've never sinned. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. No wonder David says, let the God of my salvation be exalted. Be honored, be gloried. Because all the glory and all the honor and all the praise of your salvation, believer, is due to him. To him alone. None of it belongs to us, does it? And so all the glory has to go to him, because he deserves it. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. This is a theme, and should be the theme of the believer here below. It is the theme of the believer in heaven. The salvation of God. The finished work. Unto him who have loved us and washed us from sin in his own blood be glory. let the God of my salvation be exalted. David exalts in the love of God, that redeeming love which saves, that electing love which chose, that keeping love which guides in the way of salvation here below and keeps that soul from falling. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Now a rock here is speaking of the foundation of our hope. And just as a building, if it is to endure, it has to have something solid and immovable to rest in. So if you and I have got a good hope through grace, we have to have something solid to rest upon. And that is the finished work of Christ. It never moves. It is stable. It endures. That's the whole point of the foundations of a building, isn't it? You never see them. You and I have never seen the foundations of this building, have we? And we never will. But we know they're there. And we rest on them. And we rely on them and we trust that they will stay fixed and secure. And that's the whole point of foundations. The whole building rests upon it. And its stability and its safety rests upon the fact that the foundation is solid and strong enough to hold the building in place. No matter how many people may be in the building, and no matter what weather may come against it. That's the whole point. Well, beloved friend, you're going to need a solid foundation when your soul faces the storms and trials of life. When it faces the opposition of Satan. When it faces the discouragement of sin. And of the fact you still have an old nature. And that nature hasn't got any weaker or any better. And above all, you're going to need a strong foundation that does not move when you come down to die. Because everything else will give way. Blessed be my rock, says David. He'd proved that rock in shaking times, and it had stayed faithful. He hadn't let him down. In times of adversity and in times of prosperity, David could rely upon this rock, this foundation. What are you relying on? This is the only rock that will endure. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my help and stay. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every dark and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And I shall launch in worlds unknown. Oh, may I then be found in him, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before the throne on Christ, that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And if you're on that rock, you'll be on it forever. You may shake on it, You'll never fall off it. You may tremble upon the rock, it will never tremble under you. Because it's stronger than all that will come against it. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. The writer said, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking all life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And, beloved friends, it will not be till heaven that we realize just how steadfast, how solid, how faithful this rock is. We realize then the greatness of the debt of love we owe to the Saviour for all that he has done. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. David got a little glimpse of it here. He knows it in all its fullness now. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. And then this rock is a smitten rock. It's a cleft rock. You know the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. You know, as Moses was put upon that rock near Sinai at the commencement of his journey in leading the children of Israel to the promised land. When the Lord came down and proclaimed his name before him, he put Moses upon a rock. But it wasn't any rock. It had to be a cleft rock. A cleft is a rock which has like an indent in it. It's big enough to fit Moses into. And the reason it was necessary is because the Lord was going to pass by in all his glory. And Moses, in his fleshly state, could not stand face to face with that glory. God's glory is so great that you and I could not stand the full glory face to face. And so if Moses was to endure, he had to find a hiding place. And God said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and cover thee with mine hand. And that rock is a type of Christ. First of all, the Lord revealed to Moses his need, that he needed a refuge in that day and in that hour. And then he revealed to him where that refuge was, at that rock. You know, Sinai is a very rocky place. Having once been there, I was amazed at just how many rocks there are in that area. But it was a particular rock. And the Lord revealed it to Moses. He showed him where it was. And he had prepared that rock before Moses got there, so that it had a cleft in it. And then as he stood upon that rock, he didn't even have to retreat into the cleft. We read the Lord put him there himself and covered him with his own hand. There you see, beloved friends, the work of God. He shows a sinner, first of all, his need of salvation and a refuge. And then he shows him who that refuge is. That place by me is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. In that life he lived, in that death he died. That is a place of safety, that is a place of refuge. And then the Lord himself, having led us to that revealed rock, as we stand upon that rock, resting upon it, he then puts us into the cleft of it with his own hand. All the work is his, and he covers us with that hand. That hand that was many years later in human flesh, be wounded for Moses' sin, protected him from the full glory of Emmanuel. And so there are times when by faith the Lord puts his people in the cleft of that rock. And they are privileged to see the wounds of Jesus in those hands. The wounds of Jesus for our sin. The Lamb from the eternity slain. And that rock and that hand came between Moses and all his need and the glory of God that he could not stand before. He was safe. And so it is, beloved friends, that as the Spirit of God puts his people by faith into the cleft of this rock of ages cleft for us, so that rock, Christ Jesus, in that day, as he was crucified, he came between us. If we are favoured to be on that rock and all that threatens, he to save my soul from danger, as a hymn writer interposed his precious blood. That means Jesus stood between a poor, defenceless, helpless, hell-deserving sinner in all his need and supplied that need. And so the storm fell upon Jesus, not upon the sinner. Believer, you're safe when you're on this cleft rock. None can perish there, not even you. None have. And you were not either. There's sufficiency here. There's safety here. There's salvation here. In the person and in the work and in the merits of Jesus Christ. And only there, as that hymn goes on to say, not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy Lord's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone. In other words, there is nothing that we can do. No matter how zealous, how active or sincere we may be in seeking to keep the law of God, right though it is, all that work will not save us. Equally, an eternity in hell, weeping over sin, would not deliver us. But the wounds of Jesus can. Here is where this one who is blessed to be like David upon this rock is brought to. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. If you're clinging there this afternoon, you carry on clinging. You're in the right place. And if you're anywhere else, you're in great danger. May God bring us there. Because that and that alone is a place of safety. There and there alone, God will have mercy on a sinner. Nowhere else. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted.
God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach tomorrow evening. And Mr. John Rosier, next Lord's Day, morning and afternoon. And the collections today are for the TBS West Anglia Auxiliary. Let us close with hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Hymn 119.
Do forgive, O Lord, all our seen wrong in our worship of thy name this day. Bless thy word unto us, and may we prove that the Lord lives for us, and that he lives within us by his Spirit. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us each now and forever. Amen.